Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, political, prophetic events, the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. There are two things we're told we should never talk about: politics and religion. And that's what I talk about every week on this program. So I don't expect to win the award for being the most popular or the most likely to succeed. But did you ever wonder why politics and religion are off limits? Well, because they touch our core values. Religion is our worldview. Politics is the practical application of that worldview. And talking about religion and politics would not be a problem if it weren't for the fact that mankind is at enmity with God. Romans 5:10, while we are the enemies of God. And so there's a truth war going on. People are battling against God's truth. And so if you want to offend someone, challenge their worldly, unbiblical truth claims. In doing this, you're attacking the very source of their self-worth and their self-concept. People don't want to admit that they're wrong. They don't want to admit that they're sinners. But as God's ambassadors, we must boldly speak the truth. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20. Since we are ambassadors for the kingdom of Christ, we must speak boldly. A favorite line used by leftist social justice warriors today is that we must speak truth to power. But as Christians, we must speak truth to error. As Jesus said to Pilate in John chapter 18, "For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And we follow in the steps of Jesus in that matter. Now, the topic for today's program is not more commentary on social errors or commentary on the erroneous statements made by politicians. I want to speak about a character trait that Christians need to develop in the last days. And that trait is courage. And, you know, I can't help thinking of that cowardly lion in The Wizard of Oz. What makes a king out of a slave? Courage. What makes a muskrat guard his musk? Courage. What makes the Hottentots so hot? Courage. What puts the ape in apricot? Courage. What have they got that I don't got? Courage. Now, just stop for a moment and think of how often the Bible addresses this topic of courage. When Joshua was called of God to lead the Israelites into the promised land, what was God's counsel to Joshua? You need to exercise courage. Joshua 1:6, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." Joshua 1:7, "Only be strong and very courageous." Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Three times repeating this admonition to be courageous. And the phrase "fear not" or "do not fear" and similar constructions are used over 100 times in the Bible, because that's our tendency. In the flesh, we fear, we worry, we fret. God came to Abraham, Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. "Do not fear, Abraham. I am a shield to you." And Moses said to the Israelites, when the Red Sea was in front of them and the Egyptian army was behind them, Exodus 14:13, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord." God assured the prophet Isaiah with that well-loved verse, Isaiah 41:10, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And when Jesus was getting ready to send out his disciples to do evangelism, Three times in Matthew chapter 10, he told them to not fear. Verse 26, do not fear them, for there's nothing concealed that will not be revealed. Verse 28, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. And verse 31, so do not fear, you're more valuable than the sparrows. And the word of God to Christians living in the church age, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you'll be tested. And you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Courage, fearlessness is a natural character trait for those who are saved, those who know the Lord. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, for the people who know their God will display strength and take action. 2 Timothy 1, 7, for God has not given us the spirit of timidity or fear, but of power and of love and of discipline. And Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1, the wicked flee when no one's pursuing, but the righteous are as bold as lions. Now notice in that verse that the wicked are by nature cowards. And when the apocalypse comes, Jesus said that men's hearts will fail them. Proverbs 21:26, men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And of course the unsaved are going to be fearful. They have no assurance of God's protection. They have no assurance of a resurrection. They don't believe the prophecy. They suppress the knowledge of God, the knowledge of their sin. But as it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 31, they know that those who do wickedness are worthy of death. They know in their conscience that a judgment is coming. Remember when Paul was speaking to Felix, the Roman governor of Judea, Acts 23:25? When Paul began to speak of the judgment, the text says that Felix became frightened. So remember that ungodly leaders are more afraid of you, the Christian, than you are of them. You know, I really believe that all of this talk about Christians being homophobes and xenophobes and Islamophobes is a type of projection, a defense mechanism, where the world is projecting on the Christians their own feelings and their own attitudes. Because they are the ones who are in great fear where no fear had been. Psalm 53. They are claiming that we are afraid of them in order to cover the fact that they're afraid of us. Now think about this. The Christian is being called a homophobe. Now I don't know of a single Christian who is afraid of a homosexual. We pity them. We know that their end is near. We know that they don't have a future. We know that they're living a miserable life. But we don't have a fear of homosexuals. But what's happening here is that the only way the ungodly can psychologically deal with any indignation against their sin is to label it fear. To call righteous indignation a negative emotion of fear. And they do this because they themselves are afraid of the truth. They are afraid of social opposition. And the reason the left wants to silence the voice of the evangelical right is because they're afraid of the truth. People don't silence that which they're not afraid of. Anyway, recognize that one of the characteristics of the ungodly is cowardice. They may put on a good face, but always remember that at their core, they are afraid. And the Bible concludes with the following description of those who are cast into the lake of fire. The first description on the list is that of cowardice. Revelation 21:8, for the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the immoral persons and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire, which is the second death. So in what way were these unbelievers cowards? Well, in life, they went along with the crowd, the spirit of the age. They went along with Satan, the prince of the power of the air. They didn't stand up for what was right. They valued their own hides more than the truth. They took the easy path, the broad road that leads to destruction. The Christians, on the other hand, are described in the previous verse as those who are the overcomers. This is the Greek word nike, which means a victor or a winner. Revelation 21:7, he who overcomes, the nike, the winner, will inherit these things. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. But then in verse 8, but for the cowardly, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire. So there is a contrast between the winners and the cowards. And the winners, the overcomers, the nike, are described in Revelation chapter 12 as those who are so courageous that they put Jesus Christ before their very lives. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame, that's the word nike, the winners, they overcame him, the Antichrist, because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even when faced with death. And here we begin to see the attitude that is behind courage. That courage comes by having the right values. And I'll get to that in a minute. But again, the bottom line is that it takes courage to be a Christian, and the Spirit of God creates courage in a Christian. I don't want to be beating up on Christians here for a lack of courage. We hear that a lot. I just simply want to encourage Christians to exercise courage all the more. Courage that they already have, they just need to grow in it. Especially as cowardice is really on the rise in America. This is a day for God's people to really start to speak up. You know, as George Orwell once wrote, during a time of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. And Christians are going to have to learn to become revolutionaries. Now, there's a lot of talk in the news about social media censorship. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, censoring conservative, right-leaning views. A whistleblower recently contacted James O'Keefe and the Veritas Project and exposed how Pinterest censors pro-life views and has added the name Ben Shapiro to the sensitive term list. Then Twitter banned Veritas for posting comments by this whistleblower. The pro-life advocacy group Life Action, founded by Lila Rose, has been banned from Pinterest for allegedly spreading medical misinformation and conspiracies. So this is quite Orwellian. Truth has to go along with the party line. But an even worse problem than media censorship is self-censorship. We often overlook that. The vast majority of censorship comes from people who voluntarily stay away from certain subjects because they're afraid of some social backlash. And LGBT activists are looking for any statements made against their movement, and they're going after the employers or the advertisers of those who make such statements. And their strategy is to use the fear of social ostracizing, even the fear of job loss, to silence all opposition. They don't even have to target or dox everyone. All they have to do is just target a few key figures, people who have something to lose, and then those people who are cowards follow suit. Like the head of Mozilla, Brandon Eich. LGBT activists started a campaign against him when they discovered he made a donation back in 2008 supporting Proposition 8, which would have prohibited homosexual marriage in California. Eich had to step down as the CEO of Mozilla because he made a donation to an anti-LGBTQ group. And you know, there's this domino effect. You silence a few leaders, and then everyone else is silenced out of fear. But if we stay silent, we play into their strategy. But if more people speak up, their strategy will fail. Here's another example. Transgender women, men who say they are women, are entering into women's sports and winning. From the Daily Signal, a biological male who identifies as a transgender woman won an NCAA national championship over Memorial Day weekend. Franklin Pierce University runner CeCe Telfer won a Division II women's 400-meter hurdles on Saturday night, besting the second-place finisher by more than a second. My son, who did hurdles back in college, pointed this article out to me, along with how unfair this is given the differences between the times in men and women hurdles. This man would have won nothing if he ran with his gender. But the odd thing is that this is happening all over the country and no one's speaking out against it. Oh, the parents are angry. But everyone is afraid to object out of fear of being called a bigot, being called a Neanderthal who still believes in genders. Well, finally in Connecticut, three Connecticut girls who had been running high school track have filed a federal discrimination complaint, saying the statewide policy on transgender athletes has cost them top finishes in races and possibly college scholarships. The complaint filed Monday with the U.S. Education Department's Office for Civil Rights was submitted by a conservative Christian law firm, Alliance Defending Freedom, on behalf of the girls, who are asking for an investigation of the policy and orders that would make the competition fair. The complaint also cites the federal Title IX ruling aimed at equal rights in sports for female athletes. So this is good. But why did it take so long? And why aren't there many other lawsuits? This just further demonstrates the cowardice and the fear that has infected our culture. People are self-censoring. And so here is the root of cowardice. People valuing their own self-interest, whether that be safety or employment or reputation or popularity, overvaluing righteousness. Heard a good analogy the other day. People are keeping silent in our culture, like the recent movie, The Silent Place. You know, in that movie, aliens had taken over the world, and the aliens could only identify and find you if you made a noise. And so the remaining survivors had to whisper and use sign language, lest one of the aliens heard them and come rushing across the field and eat them. You know, those aliens are like the leftist bullies today. And whenever the majority of people in society put their life and their comforts above what is morally right, that society gets taken over by the basest, most deviant people. It's kind of like a punishment that comes upon a society that no longer believes in the priority of God and God's truth. But to carry that movie illustration a little further, if you've watched the movie, How Did the Family Eventually Defeat the Aliens? Spoiler alert. Well, they defeated the aliens with sound. Very loud, high-pitched sound. The sensitivity these aliens had to sound was also their weakness. The sensitivity that the left has toward words is also their weakness. So the way to stop these evil social leaders is to not be quiet, but to speak up all the more, to challenge their intolerance and their bigotry, to call it out as unacceptable and evil. Never cower before the rhetoric of evil people, Proverbs 25:26. Like a trampled spring and a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. Because when you give way before the wicked, you make matters worse, and you make it harder for the next guy to stand for the truth. And you no longer fulfill the responsibility Jesus gave to us to act as salt and light in the world. You're instead, as Jesus went on to say, hiding your light under a bushel. But Jesus went on to say, instead you should be setting your light upon a lampstand, to set it on a hill for everyone to see. And this is a decision we must make before God In the short term, it will cost us something, but in the long term, there will be a reward. Moses, in order to please and obey God, he had to make a decision. Do what is right and lose his status in Pharaoh's government, or go along with the cultural errors and keep his position. Hebrews 11:25, Moses chose to endure ill treatment with the people of God, than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. In America, with Christianity in decline, when push comes to shove, too many Americans will sell their soul to the spirit of this age, as long as they can keep their Social Security and their 401k, their jobs, their book deals, their tenured professorships. Benjamin Franklin once said, "Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty or safety." But notice, in Moses' case, as in other biblical examples, his courage didn't come simply by trying to muster up feelings of courage. It came by holding to the right values. I mean, show me a person who values God first, and I will show you a person of courage. So Moses, in valuing God first, considering Christ true riches, that is why he was able to give up all and do what was right. And Moses' situation was not an anomaly. In every age, doing what was right will always mean giving up something. So be courageous. As I said at the beginning of this program, this admonition to be fearless and courageous and outspoken is repeated throughout the Bible. Because if a Christian is to fail, he will fail in this matter. Like Peter, who is unwilling to stand up for Jesus at his trial, telling those soldiers around the fire, "I never knew this man." And Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, "For whoever will be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation," just like our own generation, "the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, the glory of his Father, with the holy angels." So, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Yes, we will be considered outcasts. Paul writes that he was considered the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, or in the words of Hillary Clinton, the basket of deplorables. The Roman historian Tacitus recorded that Christians were accused of being haters of humanity. Well, in that they sided with this holy God against worldly sin. Well, we will be hated by the world, but we will be loved by God. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The radio website to listen to this program again or to download it is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel for the extended version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Thank you for including God and Country in your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, may we speak boldly, as we ought to speak, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may we contain in our hearts the values that produce such courage. That you are first, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.